And Jesus says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Well, we kind of thought so, what with the angels saying what they did to the shepherds. But he goes on, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Whoops. What happened? On this Monday, August the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2013, I'm Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel, where we examine the Bible from a law and gospel point of view. And it does not appear that we ever have a set of lessons for the following Sunday that doesn't appear to have some kind of contradiction in it. Almost every time, that's what the lessons appear to have. And the lessons for this coming Sunday are from Jeremiah 23, Hebrews 11, and Luke chapter 12. This is why you need to understand the distinctions between law and gospel, because it's very difficult to understand the scripture. Oh yes, it's revealed by God, but here you got a really clear passage. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. But what do we mean when the angels came to the shepherds? Peace on earth. That's what they said to them. So do we have a contradiction between the angels and between Jesus? One of the most important distinctions to be made is theology. Theology is the art of making distinctions. And a lot of times, you need to understand that when you make distinctions, what appears to be contradictory really is not. This happens in life all the time. Somebody says, well, I was listening to the broadcast at 5 p.m. And somebody says, no, you weren't. You didn't get here until 5 minutes to 6, so you listened to it at 6 p.m. Well, what's the answer to resolve that apparent contradiction? There's such a thing called time zones. In fact, I signed up to look at a webinar on the computer shortly, and they tell you the time it's going to be on, and then they say the time zone. This one was like at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Well, that means that though it starts at 6 p.m. Pacific time, I won't be watching it until 8 p.m. Central time because we're 2 hours ahead. So even though it sounded like there was a contradiction between two different time sets, there really was not, because involved with the two time sets is just time zones. So let's take a look at this passage. Context is everything. In verse 40 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Whoa. Well, fire is kind of violent. It's a negative kind of thing. And therefore, you can understand why he says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. So what is the distinction that is necessary to understand this? We need to understand that there are two kingdoms. The one kingdom, of course, is the temporal kingdom. And the other kingdom is the spiritual kingdom. So if we're talking about the spiritual kingdom, then we have to understand what the angels were saying to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, it even says peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Another time that the word peace is used is in John chapter 20, when Jesus, after the resurrection, appears to his disciples, and the very first words he says, peace be to you. So obviously, the peace that Jesus is bringing affects the spiritual kingdom, the Holy Christian Church. What Jesus is talking about, that he is not bringing peace on earth, he's referring to the temporal kingdom, or even worse, the kingdom of Satan. I tell you, not at all, but rather there's going to be division because of me. Now, what kind of division? Here again we find Scripture interprets Scripture. Going on, verse 52. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So what is Jesus speaking here? This is the effect that the Christian message often takes place in. I had an individual who was going through to be a pastor. He was a seminarian. He had formerly been Jewish. And guess what happened when he became Christian? His family, his Jewish family, had a funeral for him. Now, of course, he wasn't there. There was no dead body. But it is as though he had left the world of the living, the world of the living Jews, and was now no longer part of God's holy word. You see, this is the problem. Who of us do not know of a family that is divided? And I'm not saying just between denominations. Sometimes a Roman Catholic will marry a Lutheran or a Baptist, a Presbyterian. But I'm talking about a Mormon and a Hindu and a Muslim. That kind of division. You see, when the word of God comes, a lot of people don't get past the law because the law is accusation. The law actually can be a comfort to people. What? Well, yes. For example, if you are struggling to get right with God in order that you would have perfectly sinless good works so that God will begin to like you, love you, and then save you, what a burden that is. Now, how can the law relieve that burden? When you hear God's understanding of the law, that it accuses you of never being able to do a sinless good work simply because you have an old Adam that always is motivated sinfully. Anybody who ever thinks that they have done a good work without any sin in it is lying to themselves, and also taking away credit from Jesus, who alone died on the cross for your sins. By the way, if you want to call on this, we'll take calls today in the St. Louis area. It's 821-0850. 821-0850. That's our new number, by the way, since we moved to the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And you can ask me anything you want on contradictions in the Bible or even on this verse that we're taking a look at from Luke chapter 12. Now, why is Jesus saying this? Well, because he's warning them about the day of judgment. Verse 54, he says to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, and how is it that you do not discern this time? Now, this time he's talking about is when he has appeared now to the people of Israel as the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. And they don't understand this. These people are hypocrites because they're pretty good at, discerning other things, but they cannot discern that the evil day of judgment is coming upon them. So, part of the reason you and I are persecuted as Christians is because we often do bring division, not only among families, but also among nations. A division because they cannot stand the idea of God being their Savior. and that Jesus is the way of salvation. And they can't stand it because, of course, what they're dealing with is the fact that under the law, they need to come to a realization that they need a Savior. Now, why do so many people not understand that? That's actually part of the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, God says, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord." The Reformation came up with great solas, that's Latin for alone or only. Salvation by Christ alone. Salvation through faith alone. Salvation through grace alone. Salvation and knowledge of salvation through what? Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura simply means that if I tell you anything, I better have a Bible verse to back it up. We had a really interesting conversation Thursday and Friday from Joe, who had never really heard before that Lutherans don't have a set of the books of the Bible, and that you have a right as a Lutheran to say that this is not really a book of the Bible. Had a good friend come into the store on Saturday, Bargains New and Resale over there at Woodson Road, and I'm there every Saturday morning, and he really wanted to talk about that because he knows a lot of people who are for women ordination, and he says all they say is that what Paul says there is not something I agree with, therefore it's not part of the Bible. And I said, no, wait a minute. Let's say Galatians, where Paul speaks out against certain sins. If you say he's wrong on those sins, that's different than saying that the book of Galatians is not part of the Bible. See, I really haven't run into somebody for women ordination who no longer holds to the books of the Bible as we have them, like Timothy or Titus. They just think Paul is wrong. But see, that's a view of the Bible. That's nothing to do with what book of the Bible is correct or not part of the Bible. So when you're talking about denying what Paul says, you're really denying what Jesus says, because Paul may be the writer of Romans and Colossians and so forth, but God is the author. So these prophets that are false, wow. Verse 28 tells us, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. But he who has my word, let him speak my word. So, if a prophet says, this is what God told me, this is a sure way of knowing that you're speaking to a false prophet. Because God is giving no more further revelation than he has through the Holy Scripture. Even the book of Revelation says, he who adds or subtracts from that, boy, you're in big trouble. But I hear this on television all the time. Yeah, God was telling me that we need to build a new church and we need to move over to such and such a neighborhood. And he also tells me that you people really need to dig deep in your pockets and come up with the funds so that we can do this. How long, verse 26, will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. So, what are you saying here? Is the dreams of a pastor aren't worth the paper he writes them on, because they don't come from the Word of God. That's why, as we were talking with Wes Reimnitz last Thursday about the marks of a pastor on the basis of what a professor at the seminary had written in preaching the ordination of his son-in-law, when we take a look at this, We need to be real careful, as did the sermon, to make sure what is the task of a pastor. He's not to give you his word. He's to give you the word of God. And so a real easy way in which you can check out whether what a pastor is saying is correct or not is simply to ask him, how do you back that up with the scripture? And if he cannot back it up with the scripture, then he's talking out of his head rather than out of the word of God. And this fits in very well with what we were talking about, that many people have a Santa Claus view of Jesus. He was such a nice man. He was so loving. And they'll often forget his taking a whip into the temple, his telling Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, or his speaking to the Pharisees that your father is the devil himself. But here this passage is pretty clear. When people assumed the Messiah was going to bring peace on earth, they were talking about earthly peace, temporal peace, restoring Israel to its former grandeur. How clear does Jesus have to be when he says the words, my kingdom is not of this world? Now, the disciples continually fell into that trap that the devil was setting for them. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, there goes Peter cutting off the ear of Malchus, a servant of the high priest. Put away your sword. You see, Jesus had a mission to fulfill. And a sword to protect him from that mission was really idolatry. This is why every sin is a form of idolatry. Just think of any sin. 2 through 10. Every one of them that you commit, think, or say is a way of replacing God with your own view. That's really why we live by faith, not by sight. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Namely, the faith that comes about. Remember Abraham, God telling him to kill his son Isaac? But there was a promise God had given him, that through Isaac all the nations would be blessed. The Messiah would come through his seed. Well, why would Abraham go and kill his son Isaac? Wouldn't that be a contradiction? And the real answer isn't found until the New Testament, which is the epistle reading for this coming Sunday, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It's Hebrews 11, verse 17 and following. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it had been said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Okay, so the writer to the Hebrews sets the stage very well. Abraham was tested by God to see if he was faithful. Offer up your son Isaac, put him to death. But he had already been told that in Isaac your seed shall be called. Therefore, through Isaac would come the seed that would save the entire world. But verse 19 now explains why Abraham was able to kill Isaac, or attempt to kill Isaac, knowing full well that through Isaac the seed would be called. Listen to this 19. Accounting that God, so therefore Abraham realized that God, was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. What does that mean? How had Abraham received Isaac? Well, when Abraham was 75 years old, God came to him. And by the way, Sarah was 65. And said that she would have a child. She was already past childbearing. But Abraham believed it. Now, after a while, I mean a long while, it took 25 years for the birth to take place, And in between that time, Abraham was thinking to himself, well, maybe he meant just through me, the seed, not through Sarah. So he had a baby with Hagar, Ishmael. But no, that's not what God intended. See, God makes a promise. But have you noticed how long it takes for that promise to be fulfilled? Because God sets the timing. 25 years after the promise to 75-year-old Abraham and 65-year-old Sarah, did 100-year-old Abraham and 90-year-old Sarah have a son named Isaac from a dead womb, from all apparent observation. But he was still born. Abraham knew that he had received him in a figurative sense by bringing a womb back to life to bear a child. So that even though Abraham knew that he would knife Isaac and then burn him on the altar, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. In fact, as Isaac and Abraham went up the mountain, the servants want to know, do you want us to help you with the wood or anything? No. Isaac will carry the wood and we will return to you, Abraham said. So he believed that even were Isaac put to death, that he would rise from the dead. Well, of course, that wasn't God's plan. He stopped Abraham before he killed Isaac. But it's really kind of interesting that there was an only begotten who was put to death. He was the Son of God. His name is Jesus. And he died for you. And he died in such a way that he took the punishment that you really deserve. Your sins are forgiven not because you've shaped your life up so well or you are really the best repentant person on earth. No, your sin has been forgiven because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross as he took upon himself the punishment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because you've got the sins of the world upon you, son. God did that. And he did that in such a way that from the cross itself, Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a tremendous insight into Christianity. That Jesus was put to death knowing full well that he would rise again in 3 days. He even told his disciples that more than once. But of course, they didn't hear about the resurrection part. They could only hear about the crucifixion part. But it was a crucifixion for the sake of God, to show how much he truly loved you, how much he truly loves you, and how much he will truly love you in the future, as he takes every believer into his heavenly arms, into an eternity of peace. So yes, the peace that Jesus is bringing to the earthly realm is not a peace, but a division. Because the word of God is impossible to accept on one's own. And many people will reject that word of God because not only doesn't it make any sense, but it assumes that you are a poor, sinful creature who needs a Savior to help you out of the problem. That is really hard to get across. On Faith and Family today, there was a program about the deaf, and it was really quite fascinating as I listened to my good friend, who is the pastor of the deaf, as he explained that when you go to deaf language, there are no passives in sign language. So if you ever just kind of translate into sign language about Jesus dying on the cross for you at times, it gives the impression that that's something you have to do in order to get that gift. It was really quite fascinating to hear how they are trying to help the deaf to understand that they receive salvation passively. Richard Moody, of course, was the pastor, a good friend of mine, and had some members who had a a deaf child that attended, and they were just blown away with the way that worship is done for the deaf. See, that's what our missionaries do when we go to various places around the world. We have to translate into their culture, into their ways of thinking, the Christian. And a lot of times it's not easy to do that, because sometimes their grammar is different than ours, and they may not have the various parts of speech that make Christianity the work of God alone. And so it's quite a struggle at times. And so we encourage you to keep them in your prayers. But remember, God will give you the words to say any time that you are approached by someone who needs to know what is the way of salvation. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel with our good friend Pastor Mark Smith, we'll continue talking about theology, which is the art of making distinctions in the spiritual realm, in order for one purpose, to help you share that message with your friends, your relatives, your family, your co-workers. For that's the reason you and I are here on earth now, to share the message. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.